anyone that would come in and work for me, I would like be disrespectful. I'd be like, yo, stop being such a, you know, if someone didn't want to climb a ladder because the hedges were tall, you know, I would like get the there, bro. Like, I got this. Like, can't believe and scared, and you know, I'll just be in there and I'll be savage mode. Like, and I started to realize, like, the guy left, the other guy, or I fired him, like, you know, get out of here, you know, whatever. And this is me in the environment that I grew up on, and I had a big heart, but when it came down to business, to work, like, I wasn't gonna from nobody. Like, you either come, and it was mainly my way or the highway, you know. I didn't want no one on their headphones. I would rip fucking headphones out of there. Give me the, if you're gonna listen to music, go sit in the truck, go home. Like, I was a strict. What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to the Stay Shining, Stay Grinding podcast with your host, Jose Gallegos, and my co-host,
Carlos Castro. How's everybody doing?
All right, man. Welcome back. Another week.
Another week, yeah. How was your weekend?
It's good. I mean, a lot of rain right now here in Southern California, but stayed in, took the kids out, Chuck E. Cheese. One of my boys hit me up, so we're like, yeah, let's go. Took the kids out. That's it. It's been raining, so just...
This is your guys' season where you guys tend to have a little slower work, a workforce, right? I mean, the work is still there. Like, the jobs are still there, but...
Yeah. Yeah, just because of the rain, it backtracks. Like, yeah. Obviously, we can't work in the rain when we're doing landscape construction. Even the maintenance... It gets tough. Things get sticky and it gets complicated to work in the rain. But, you know, sometimes with holidays and everything, and you just got to get it done. But, yeah, the landscape construction for sure, it's not, you know, it's not something we want to do out there. It's not safe, you know, liabilities and everything. So we just take the day off.
The mud, and it starts to get muddy, right? Like the ground, like if you guys are putting pavers or concrete, yeah, no,
it's not doable.
It's too muddy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's cool. That's awesome.
Yeah. Great. Well, you guys get some days off and then they come back hyped up. Like last week it rained 2 days in a row too. Uh-huh. And we were back on a Wednesday and they were just like, fuck, let's go. Like, you know, like what are we doing? And I was like, well, let's just continue up where we left off. And he was like, I'm tired of being home, you know? And these guys just want to work, bro. They're
well, good thing you have a team that, you know, is ready to come back, because, you know, a lot of other companies out there, they don't have that same drive. They're happy that it's raining. They don't want to work, and then they come back, and you know they're
sluggish about it.
They're like, sluggish. Nah. They're like, oh man, I got to go back to the trade. Yeah, that's cool, man.
What's going on with you? What you guys do this weekend?
This weekend, to be honest, man, the rain just kept us in. So, I just stayed home. I did some work at home. Did some work from home. The UFC was finally on. Nice. I'm a huge MMA fan. And my wife bought me a new TV for Christmas. And
small TV.
A little tiny TV. It's about this big.
Huge, bro. It's over a whole wall.
She bought me a new TV. And honestly, I've been waiting for a few weeks now to finally watch.
Like a big fight, huh? Like a good.
Yeah, the UFC. And I'm happy with it. I'm super happy. Even though I was working at the same time, but. Still, I guess I had the time to enjoy my TV and then also I finished. I've been watching The Sopranos. I don't know if you know what The Sopranos is.
I heard of it.
It's a show. It's a show based off of an Italian guy who's a mob leader in New Jersey, not New York, New Jersey, and basically it just entails his life from. It entails his life mainly from like when he already is already in the mob and he's going to become like the leader of the mob. Mm-hmm. And it just basically like entails also like the dynamic of what it's like to be a mob leader and the mental instabilities that you deal with, because he sees a therapist and he talks to the therapist about what's going on and what's happening. And it's very influential and it really kind of brings light to actually the topic that we're going to be talking about today.
I was just going to say that, dude. Like, what the?
And I just thought about that right now on cue. Good job.
It's so cool.
It brings
I was just
light.
Thinking that in my head.
Yeah,
I was
it brings light.
This is just going to piggyback right onto what we're about to talk about.
Yeah, so it basically, you know, he's dealing with issues of passing out that he's been dealing with for a long time, but didn't say anything until later on in the series. And these episodes of him passing out are from stress, anxiety, like from a lot of things that a lot of men deal with when we're in situations or in positions of like areas where we have to like hold it in.
So he's an alpha male, mobster.
Yes.
Gangster as fuck.
Uh-huh.
And he's willing to go to therapy.
He's willing to go to therapy. I mean,
you know how that in our brown community, like what?
It's crazy. You're this
top ego person, mobster, you know, alpha male, respected by all or many or, you know, most.
Yeah.
And you're going to therapy? Like, how does that work?
You know? And they even in the show, like he keeps it a secret. And then, like, I think by, like, the second or third season, they basically find out. They're like, oh, Tony's in going to therapy. He's going to shrink. And they exactly think the same thing that people in our culture, in our community would think. He's crazy. What's wrong with him? Yeah. Like, you know, and obviously they're in the mob. So they're like, is he snitching? Like, yeah, exactly. What's going on? And da, 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 da. But in reality, he's just talking about, like, his own personal issues that he deals with. And so every once in a while, he'll throw in like things that's happening, but he never discloses names. He keeps it legit and he keeps it real. But it definitely helped him a lot seeing the shrink. So I finished that.
Nice.
And it has a very controversial ending. A lot of people, I mean, when it first came out, people were so upset of how the way it ended that they all got people got pissed off. People were, you know, why did it end like that? It just ended a certain way. I don't want to spoil it for anybody that hasn't watched it yet, but it just ended a certain way. Mm-hmm. And then recently, last year, they came out with a spinoff that has to do with Tony Soprano and how he became who he was today during the Sopranos TV series. And the creator of the show got interviewed and finally told people like why it ended that certain way. Oh. And for me, in my position that saw it so late, I understood and was like, okay, I get why it ended that way. But people back then, when
they had
you didn't have phones, you didn't have anything to really like, I mean, you had phones and stuff, but like you didn't have access to the internet the way we do now.
Yeah.
Didn't know why it ended that way. What the hell? People were pissed. But me, I understood it. And I understood it also as a creative. And I understood it as like a fan of the show. I'm hooked. Okay. I was hooked. I was really hooked by the show. And then now I'm on a new series. I'm on the Wu-Tang American Saga series that they have.
Okay.
Super excited. I've been pushing it off for a while because I like to really give, when I watch things, I like to give my full attention. I don't like to like watch things and be like, well, we'll see how I feel about it. Like, I like to be in the right moment at the right time when I want to watch something. So,
and it makes sense, especially a series.
Yeah.
I personally try to stay away from series because, number one, it does get addicting.
Yeah.
And it takes time. And then, you know, so then you're going to like want to stay up late watching it or like, you know how it is. Oh, one more episode. But then, so I try to stay away. The last one I saw was years ago. It was the Prison Break.
Damn, dude.
This was, I think we were expecting our first. So I'm talking 8 years ago, probably.
That's a long time.
Yeah. So, but getting good that you brought that up. Because then that really piggybacks into our subject we wanted to talk about today, which is ego and machismo. That's very, you know, a common thing in our brown communities or, you know, culture, how we grew up, how we got brought up.
Mm-hmm.
And at least because it was our environment coming up. So what do you think on, what's your take on this?
I think when it comes to ego and machismo, it's kind of comes hand in hand with like who we are as individuals, especially in our community. Like we're both Latinos and we both come from, you know, we're both first generation and, you know, we come from a a strong rooted family of like, you know, men don't cry, men don't show emotion, you know, men don't ask for help.
Yeah.
We come from that lifestyle, and we think as we grow that that's the way of living life. And then when we become adults or adolescents, we continue that mentality and that lifestyle, and we're dealing with different things that we don't know why we're dealing with them, and we're constantly questioning it. When in reality, it's just, you know, a simple ask for help or simply sitting down and talking to somebody because you feel a certain type of way. But growing up, we're not taught that, like, you know, boys don't cry, you know, that's for girls. Like, that's a big one, you know, boys don't cry, that's for girls. And
boys don't show weakness.
Boys don't show weakness. Like,
boys don't change kids' diapers.
Exactly.
Men don't, you know, they don't clean the house. They don't clean.
There's
a lot of factors that when you grow up in a Hispanic community, like, you know, our brown community, is like, it grows up making you feel like this very alpha male type figure. Mm-hmm. And it's all a mindset because it was engraved into us when we were little. And, you know, I think it really like retains you from being just, you know, the real man that you need to be in life. Because as you grow up, as you start having a family, as you start having employees, you start having business, you got to learn how to contain that ego and how to learn how to put it aside in order for you to move forward in certain things, you know. But primarily it's just because of how we are taught growing up, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think it probably is how our parents got taught growing up, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we treat it as a... So if you come from the same community we do, which I think a lot of our listeners do, they understand. And some of our listeners may be actually offended by this stuff, too, is that we're going to be speaking about. But, you know, in reality, when it comes to the ego, when it comes to machismo, it's the perception that we create about ourselves that arises when we're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. And when this perception of ourself arises, we automatically go into a, you know, a negative reality. We go into a perception where we think we're all great, we're the best, and nothing can stop us.
Yeah, this is godlike mentality.
Godlike mentality.
You know, when conflicts arise, we puff our chest out, put our head up, you know, nothing can faze me. Like, I, you know, how are you going to tell me how to run my life? Like,
yeah.
You know, even if we're in the wrong, even we're doing the wrong things in life, and it's just that the mindset is so engraved into your brain, you're not willing to listen to the proper advice that can change the direction mm-hmm. of your life for the positive, yet you want to live in the negative and say, you know what, F you, this is who I am, and I'm going to stand for it.
Mm-hmm.
That's ego.
You being somebody that deals with multiple people, and you obviously everyone in your crew is men. As you begin to, I mean, okay, let's even go further, because you actually spoke about this, about how you dealt with this stuff early on when you first started to be in the workforce mm-hmm. as an adult, like when you're 18, 19. You thrived and did a lot of your work in the beginning based off your ego and machismo, right?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. I mean, and these are the hard lessons in life. Like, when I was like, I want to say 18 to 21, I was working for somebody. I was primarily in lawn care, and I took pride in what I did, and I wanted to be such a perfectionist that in my mind, I was the baddest, like the best, like no one, not any employee could hold it down like the way I was holding it. So guess what I would do? Anyone that would come in and work for me, you know, I would like be disrespectful. I'd be like, yo, stop being such a weenie. You know, if someone didn't want to climb a ladder because the hedges were tall, you know, I would like, get the hell out of there, bro. Like, I got this. I can't believe you're freaking scared. And, you know, I'll just be in there and I'll be savage mode. Like, you know, but. And I started to realize, like, you know, the guy left. The other guy, or I fired him, like, you know, get out of here, you know, whatever. And this is me, you know, in the environment that I grew up on. My dad was never a bad person. he has a big heart and everything, but he's very prideful, very machista, like.
Yeah.
And that's how he engraved me. So I was just a reflection of him in a way. And I had a big heart, but when it came down to business, to work, like, I wasn't going to take shit from nobody. Like,
right.
You either come, and it was mainly my way or the highway. You know, I didn't want no one on their headphones. I would rip their fucking headphones out of their, you know, give me that shit. If you're going to listen to music, go sit in the truck, go home. Like, I was a strict asshole, bro. Like, straight up.
And at the time, you also were doing a lot of weightlifting, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you were heavily influenced with that, you know,
I was empowered.
Strength and all that other stuff that goes involved with that. And so being in the environment of, you know, of lifting weights, and then being in the environment of, you know, the Latino community, machismo, and was hand in hand.
Yeah, that combination
was, a perfect combination for that type of behavior.
Yeah.
So when did you like start to like unravel that mentality? Like when did you start to notice that behavior wasn't very positive? Because obviously you're not like that now. Like you're a completely opposite person than what you were then. I don't think I really met you at the time when you were like that, or maybe we did meet and we know each other, but you just didn't act that way with us and us as in our family.
Yeah.
But I, you know, it's night and day. If you really tell me, like, I remember the first time you told me that you were like this, I was kind of like confused. I was like, you're what? Like, you used to act like how?
Yeah,
and you used to tell me that, you know, I think one time you had an experience where you saw somebody a couple years ago at one of the suppliers that you go to.
Yeah.
And the guy was hesitant to talk to you because of how your guys' relationship ended.
He gave me the cold shoulder, and you know, I, as a changed person, you know, I was like, hey, what's going on? He was like, oh, like, what's up? But he was kind of like, fuck off, kind of. But nah, man, I took it how it is. And, you know, I spoke to him and I apologized. I said, hey, I just want to apologize for my behavior in the past. You're a great person. You're a really good worker. And, you know, what I told him, I said, I was just a kid. I was immature, bro. Like, you know, and he's like, what the hell? This guy, he was like blown away. Like, whoa, what the hell? He's like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, nah, dude, I just, you know, I just had a paradigm shift. I had a shift in my mindset, and I really shouldn't be treating people like that, because at the end of the day, we need people. We need each other. We need to help each other out, bro. And then in our brand community, there's a lot of the opposite. You know, instead of helping each other out, you're pushing each other down. You're judging each other. Someone comes up with, you know, I can already see some people looking at what I'm doing or what we're doing, these motherfuckers, you know, like, it's just, that's just the culture. That's just the mindset that we have in our heads, bro. And like, the shift for me came when I started seeing people go away and nobody wanted to work with me, dude. I would have to drive. I grew up in Azusa, so I have to drive by the spot where all the laborers, you know, and then fuck, they already knew the little pickup truck I had. So they'll just all look away like, hell, I ain't going with this guy. Because then you start getting burned, you know, the guy that I fired or the guy that I pushed away, or, you know, they'll, hey, don't go with that guy. That guy's an asshole. So I was struggling to find help. And I started questioning myself, like, bro, what am I doing wrong? Like, and at the time, God works his magic. At the time, I had got myself introduced to this, it's called World Financial Group, where they introduced me to personal development. They were very big on culture, very big on personal development. That business wasn't for me, but I was very blessed to be introduced into that business because it opened the door to, you know, reading books, working on yourself, developing yourself. And through that, I was able to start reading. I started getting addicted into reading and just working on myself. When I started like questioning my whole world, dude. Like everything the books were saying, everything they were teaching me, it was all weird. Like, you ever, like, you grew up how you grew up and you go into like this, you know, perfect like scenario, the scenery, like everyone's so nice. And you're like, what the fuck? Why are these people so nice to me? Like, it feels weird because we're not used to that. Our environment is different. It's more rough. It's more rugged. It's like, so, frankly, I started understanding and I got a paradigm shift and I was like, bro, I've been seeing life through the wrong lenses, bro. Yeah. Like a whole complete opposite. And I started like feeling guilt and I started feeling like, shit, this is not who I need to be in the world. I need to be more humble. I need to be like, you know, and I didn't, it was crazy. You know, fast forward some years and I was expecting my first child. So the transition was just, everything just came together at the right time, at the right place, I would say. So then once I started working on myself and I started thinking of starting my business, I was like, you know, I need to grow a team. And, you know, the mentorship that I was getting through books and through these people at the WFG, I was just like, whoa, this is absolutely by far the complete opposite of what I was taught growing up. But you see, I can't sit here and blame my environment or my culture because that's probably all they knew. Mm-hmm. I can't sit here, but I do know that I could, and, you know, by leaving proof, I can change the direction of my life and, you know, become someone of a better more person in positive. General. Yeah, more positive, yeah. And view the world in a different place. Yeah. So, it took like not a lot, but I had to go through those things to learn how to put my ego aside, to learn how to be more of an open person. And because I do work with a lot of, you know, most of the everyone is men out there that are mm-hmm. doing the hard labor. Mm-hmm. The girls are at the office, but and I'm really open with them. Like, hey, bro, if you're going through something, talk to me. You know, pull me aside, talk to me, give me a call, have a conversation with me. Are you good? Hey, what's going on right now? Why is the quality going down? Are you going through something? Like, I don't come across like, you done this and you done that and, you know, what's going on? You're like, negative, negative, negative. No, I want to like bring out the best out of them too. And to some of them, of course, because the culture and the environment is different, they're hesitant to be like, to open up. Mm-hmm. But then when they like, hey, can I talk to you? I'm like, yeah, what's going on, dude? Yeah, you know, I'm kind of going through this or, you know, whether it's personal problems, whether it's problems with another employee or whatever. And I'm like, if I thank you for opening up for me, like I'm going to see what I can do to help you, whatever. But I do tell them, do you understand that if you never open up to me, I can't help you solve the problem. And this is your environment. This is your workplace. This is what you do for a living. So I would like for you to come in, work, be comfortable where you're working, be happy where you're working, go home. And because your work environment is good, you don't got to bring bullshit to your family when you go home. So the guys are understanding too, like, okay, this is kind of cool. Like, you know, we don't have to be like this, you know, controversial, egoistic bastard, you know, machismo. That. Yeah. Like machismo, like, oh, don't talk to me about your pussy ass problems. Like, yeah. No. Hey, relax, listen to your guys. Be there for you guys. And I think they'll grow and develop, you know? That's how I learned to have this shift in my mindset and to just strictly become a whole new version of myself. Like you said, it is a completely 360 degrees mm-hmm. all around.
Yeah, I think for me, I also dealt with a similar situation where, you know, I didn't have a lot of friends growing up. I didn't have a lot of people that I hung around with or, you know, did things with, but the people that I did hang out with and did hang around with were not very influential people who weren't really going anywhere in direction in life. And me, you know, I also had a job at a young age too. And at a young age, having the job that I did have, really just made my ego grow by like 10 times the amount that it already was growing up. Yeah. I'm the only boy in my family. So let alone I'm a mama's boy. And then I was also spoiled. So then I thought that life was like that as well too, mm-hmm. that's how you live life. And then on top of that, as I started to grow, I got a job. And then when I got a job and the mistake my parents made was they didn't charge me rent. They didn't charge me for my phone. My dad was like, get a job and do whatever you want with the money. Yeah. And it didn't teach me anything but failure. Mm-hmm. And it taught me that, people will be around you and hang around with you no matter what, if you have something to give them. And that at that time, my, you know, my ego was just inflamed. It was grown. It was bigger than what I was in life. And it took my failure in life of me having to get incarcerated and go to rehab and deal with all those things to come into reality of who I was as a person. The person that I was before I went through what I went through in life is not the same person I am today.
Yeah, I don't know.
And it's taught me a lot about humility. It's taught me a lot about empathy. It's taught me a lot about hearing others. It taught me a lot about speaking for myself and how I feel. Yeah. You know, I, for a long time in my life, just held on to everything. And I'm talking about everything from the moment I could process a thought to about, you know, age 19. I would just hold on to things. I would never talk about it. And it caused problems later on in life. And now as an adult, like, I find ways and means of, like, speaking to anybody. I mean, I talk to you a lot about this stuff too. Mm-hmm. I speak to my wife about it, you know, or I find influential things that help me with certain things. And big one that I've learned that has helped dismantle this ego and this machismo mentality is just being open. Like, mm-hmm. just being open. Like, if you're dealing with something, something's going on, and you just don't know how to get over it, just, you know, simple conversation with somebody, like you said, you know, hey, you know, I'm kind of going through something and I don't know how to map it. Like, who knows that just by you talking to a friend or a loved one, like, can just simply give you that sense of release within seconds, as opposed to holding on to something for so long. I feel like a lot of us, especially men, we hold on to certain things and then we just blow and we're like, and everyone's all confused, like, what, why, what's going on? Like, what happened? Like, you know, oh, well, you know, my wife didn't give me this and that one time. And
start going down the list. So
like, it was like 4 years ago. What are you talking about? It's like, well, yeah, I've been thinking about it this whole entire time. Just think about that. Like, you're dealing with that baggage all these years and stuff. And then you have to, like, and then all of a sudden you just fucking explode. I mean, that's why, like, high cholesterol and fucking cancer and, I mean, fucking, you know, heart attacks and, and all these issues arise in our community. Strokes and stuff like that, because of, especially in men, because we're always like, you know,
hold it in.
Hold it in. Be a man. Don't, you know, don't be a pussy. Don't fucking talk about shit. Like, but in reality, it's like, nah, like, talk about it. Say something. No matter how much. Like, that's, you speaking about how you feel already is, you're already going past your ego, and then explaining to the person of how you feel or the whatever who you're talking to is already dismantling the machismo mentality. It's okay to be a man. It's okay to be a man. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a man, but there's also something wrong with thinking that you're more than a man. Like, you think that you're better than everybody else. Like, yeah, go ahead, think that way. But, so, you know, those who rise will also fall as well too. So it's definitely a big thing, because, like, okay, so I was thinking when we're doing these notes for the episode, I studied sociology, and I actually did a presentation, I think 3 or 4 years ago. No, maybe 5 years ago. More. I did a presentation on machismo.
Oh, really?
A long time ago. And it just struck on me when I started doing my notes. And, you know, for me, machismo is like a social cue. Like, it's something that we manifest in our community, especially in the Latino community, that creates an insecurity of who we are in life compared to others, especially women. Like, it's an insecurity that we feel and we manifest through time. And thinking about that really, really, like, kind of shed light on, like, how I did that presentation back then. And it really reminded me of, like, how not only in the Latino community, but social cues from society or set, like, society as all, like, when you watch a commercial about, like, cologne, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You're not going to watch a commercial of cologne about like some guy like sitting down, you know, talking about his feelings. Like, mm-hmm. you're going to be watching a cologne commercial based off of a, they're going to show a buff guy, you know, in some type of lighting where you can kind of see that he looks like a man and he's going to look cool and
approaching this hot chick.
Approaching this hot chick.
Alpha male.
If you buy our cologne, you're going, you know, you're going to get hot chicks. And like, we're even taught that, like, in society, that like, that's how we should think. That's how we should act. But in reality, it's like, no, like, you buy this cologne, none of these things are going to happen. Like, none of this is going to happen. You know, so a lot of it just has to do with the aspect of how we treat life and how we and who we surround ourselves with. You know, today you don't surround yourself with people who, you know, rub your ego or, you know, put you on a pedestal and make you feel some kind of way and you think that you're greater than. I don't surround myself with people like that. Like, and I mean, we don't surround ourselves with many people at all. Like, we kind of keep our circles pretty tight. Like,
yeah,
you know, and it's cool to be in this place now today that we're able to like talk to one another as well and be like, look, this is how I feel. What do you think? And then I, you know, vice versa. You tell me, hey, this is how I feel. What do you think?
Yeah.
So,
yeah, 100%. And then what it is too is like ego tends to make you act upon emotion. Most of the time it's all emotion driven, emotional thoughts, emotional reactions, because it hurts that man inside of you. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the times there's probably regret in the things that are said or the actions that are taken. So just learn how to like tame that beast, you know, and be more of a logical thinker, a logical actor. Act upon, you know, what makes fucking sense, you know?
Yeah.
Ask yourself a couple questions. Learn how to process it in your head before you actually let it out. And I think you'll see the difference. I think most people will see the difference. It just really takes, as you know, Mexican, you know, men growing up in those households. It just takes a lot in our head though, because it really isn't that difficult.
It's not.
But it just, you know, like judgment, right? Like, you kind of look around and be like, I can't fucking show weakness like in this crowd right here. Like, and it's not about weakness. It's not about being quote unquote in society, the, you know, look at that little bitch or look at that little pussy. Like, no, dude, like it is good to be strong. It is good. If you're going to be the head of the household, you got to be firm. You got to be, you know, a hunter. You got to go out and kill to provide for the family, a provider. But there ain't nothing wrong with, you know, loosening it up a little bit, especially if you come home, your kids want to play, your kids want, you know, get on the floor, play with them. You have a baby, change his fucking diapers, bro. Help out. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Like, I always say, hey, my balls ain't going to fall off, bro. Like, you know, if you're a man, you're a man. You're a man in here, bro. Yeah. Like, you're a man in your physical appearance. Like, your nuts aren't going to fall off because you do something that, oh, you know, un hombre, like a man, you ain't going to wash dishes. Ooh, dude, my dad, bro, growing up, my dad would fucking, you know, as we were old enough to go to work, 10, 11 years old, Saturdays, let's go to work. And my mom's like, dude, chill, leave him here. Mm-hmm. And I do appreciate the strictness he had, because it made me the hard worker, the person I am today. But his machismo was just next level. Like, he, you know, the day we would lie to him because, like, we had, like, Martin Luther King Day. I think today is actually a holiday, right? Martin Luther King or President's Day, whatever. So we'd be like, oh, we're going to go to school. My mom would back us up. And then he would be like, all right, cool. But, damn, dude, the second he's out driving and he's like, the fuck, there's no school today. This fool pull a U-turn and, like, go to the house. And we'd be hiding in the closet or whatever. And then he's like, him and my mom are getting like, oh, why do you back them up? Like, these guys need to learn how to work. They need to learn how to be men, you know? Like, oh, but, you know, they need a day off. You're like, you're too strict with them. And he's like, oh, you want them at home? And then he'd be like, go put on a fucking skirt. Go put on a, you know, like, you want to be at home? You want to wash dishes? You want to fucking be cleaning the house like a little girl? And, you know, we were young, but we're like, now I look at it like, this guy is fucking exaggerated, bro. Like, but that's how he was with us. Like, I don't know.
That's the environment that probably he also was brought in.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
you know, there's always alpha male mentality, like, bro. Yeah, like, you know, we like... we don't really like trying to blame somebody for like the actions, but like he was brought up in that type of
exactly
environment, and he thought that, again, being first generation, like, you come to this country, you're gonna bring the baggage that you were risen from,
yeah,
and that baggage is gonna come with you, like, yep. The way he acts and the way he was treated, he's gonna think that that's how you should treat your kids out here too,
yeah,
or in any environment, actually. But that's just basically how he was taught, and he realized, I mean, that's pretty hardcore. I didn't even know about that.
Yeah, my dad, I mean, you know, I didn't take it to heart. I mean, I was a kid, but growing up too, as we were older, you know, it's like that lifestyle, like, oh, come out here and have a beer with us, you know, like, nah, I'm good, you know, like, maguitas, you know, like, yeah. Mandilón, like, oh, you know, you're going to be with your girl? Ah, dude, you got to be out with the boys right here having beers and shit. Like, that was, like, the thing, you know, like, you know, for his ego, like, in front of his friends to be like, ah, oh, come have a beer with us. Like, you don't represent my, you know, my toughness, my last name. Yeah. Like, you know, I have this record of being the man, you know, like, but, just don't take things to heart, dude. Like, for me, I just laugh, like, yeah, pops, like, you got it, you know, no problem. Mm-hmm. And, like, what really helped me is, like, because I was, you know, like I said, 18 to 21, becoming, like, that
type very, of person.
Yeah, like, like, fuck everybody type of mindset. Like, you know, only I could, you know, have the throne or whatever. But, mm-hmm. like, fucking, I didn't have shit in life, bro. I didn't have nothing to fucking fall on, dude. It was crazy. Now that I look at it, I'm like, what a fucking idiot, dude.
You had a nice truck.
Well, yeah, what the fuck was I gonna do? Okay. Yeah, I had that YOLO mentality, yeah. Dude, like, you know, dude, I'm godlike mentality. You know, I had a badass truck. It's all I fucking had.
Yeah.
I was paying, you know, everything the little I earned, I was paying off trucks, rims, you know, dressing nice, and I was just carrying myself in this still persona, still, dude, living, like,
under your parents' roof.
Yeah, dude, like, living in my parents' roof. Yeah. And, you know, but you know, it is. Now that I look back, I'm like, what a fucking idiot, dude. Like, I didn't have shit to fall on. Like, you know, if an emergency came up, you know, like my dad said, take a bite out of the truck, motherfucker. Like, take a bite out of the truck. Like, you know. But, no, I think we all go through that phase. But for a lot of the younger guys, like, just pay attention, stay alert, stay alive. And I think you're gonna do well in life. There's a lot of younger guys they're really hungry for it, you know. Especially because they're very competitive, which is really good. So I think people tuning in, listening in, and right now there's a lot of resources available to us that, you know, can help us out. Like I said, what really helped me out was when I got introduced to personal development. Mm-hmm. And that really, really changed my mindset and opened up new doors, new paths. And I was able to, like, follow through with that. I think it just really depends on the person too, right? Because if you...
Look, and it definitely brings up a lot when you start to become open. Like, you start to become more teachable. You start to become more open-minded. You start to become more open to things that are outside of yourself, you know? Let's say you're building a house and you only know how to build a house that certain way, and the house keeps collapsing, and you're not open to learning from anybody else to how to build a house a different way. Like, your home's always going to be collapsing all the time.
Yeah.
Like, but if you're open to building a home a different way and that home is stable, you have nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
You have nothing to lose from being open. You have nothing to lose from being humble. You have nothing to lose from letting, you know, not allowing the ego to control the situation. Like, there's nothing to lose.
Everything to gain.
And everything to gain, you know, like. You said it yourself right now. Like, if it wasn't for that experience that you did, you know, who knows how you would be, like, today. Like, if it wasn't for you to actually get humbled and be like, shit, what am I doing wrong?
I've asked myself that a lot.
You wouldn't know. You wouldn't know where you would be. Same thing for me. Like, I don't know where I would have been if I got my shit together. Like, I don't know. Who knows? We wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
So in reality, you know, I think as men, we should talk more, be open to it. Don't be afraid to explain and express how you feel. No one's going to judge you. And if you're talking to somebody and they judge you, it's probably not the right person to talk to.
Yeah.
You know, because then it creates, you know, it creates another mentality that, well, shit, I talked to somebody already once and they fucking called me a bitch.
Yeah.
So I don't need to talk to anybody anymore. So it's humbling. Yeah. It's humbling. I think, personally, like, I don't know, in relationships, we probably deal with it a lot too, especially when we're arguing with our wives, you know, the ego tends to come in and arise in that. I don't know about you, but it happens to me. Sometimes I catch myself or sometimes I let it take yeah. me. But, yeah, I mean, all in all, understanding your ego, understanding machismo will go a long way when you start to develop and grow as a business owner, as a person, and you'll begin to see people either continue being with you to support you or people leave, you know, like, think about it. Like, the shift that you made when you decided to do what you did to better yourself, how many of those people are still there when you were fucking shit up, you know? Like,
nobody
was there, because they were there for other reasons, you know. Same thing with me, like, and now it's different, like, so yeah. I mean,
and now I have, nobody was there when those things were going on, and, you know, like I said, when I saw the guy, the man, I was like, hey, you know, I'm sorry, I apologized to him, seen him a couple times. Hey, how's it going? Hey, good, how you doing? Good. And he actually just started his own business, so I congratulated him, and I was like, yeah, dude. So he runs truck and trailer, and he's like, if you need any help, I'm like, for sure. So that's kind of cool. Like, the relationship that was fucked up back then.
Yeah.
And now I run into him, and we're cool. We're buddies. Yeah. And if I can one day, I'll give him business. You know, if he can help me, you know, either bring him some materials or haul away some materials. Uh-huh. Like, that bridge, from what I thought that was burned, you know, we rebuilt that friendship. And now I have, you know, guys since I started my company. They're still with me.
That are still with you.
You know?
Damn.
It's not by coincidence. True, huh? Yeah, it's not by coincidence. He's been around
for 6 years. That's crazy.
So it's not by coincidence. I don't consider myself the all know-it-all type of person. Mm-hmm. I'm just putting my head down. I work every day. I work on myself every day. I try to lead the best I can. I even tell you sometimes, you're like, bro, I feel like I'm not leading my team right. Like, I feel... And then, you know, we talk to each other with, hey, I feel like, you know, maybe if you take this approach, okay, cool. I put it into action. And then, hey, Carlos, things are going better, dude. I see the guys a little more hyped up. I see the guys. So it's a never ending cycle of just learning and applying, putting things into action, trial and error. And then just, you know, it's like probably an infinity thing, you know, because every time you grow, every time you expand, every different scenarios will arise, new problems, different problems, and you're going to learn how to solve those. So I think it takes also some kind of ego to maybe have the courage to build and grow something.
Yeah,
it's like that work-life balance skill. Like, you just have to learn how to, like, scale that, how to tame the ego, to learn how to fucking, like,
the ego will always be there.
Yeah.
And the ego is also helpful in situations like when you're in danger or when you want to progress or grow something. Like, the ego is also okay to be in that situation. We're not saying, you know, kill the ego, but we're saying to just find ways of how to control it and how to find balance in it. Like, it's okay to have an ego. Like, it's okay to be confident. It's okay to feel confident about yourself.
Yeah.
It's okay to be confident about a situation. That's part of the ego. Like, but when you overstep that confidence, and when you overstep those boundaries, then that's when the ego takes over. And then that's when you become a different person. And that's when you start to burn bridges and when you start to hurt people, you know, because you're not thinking.
And at the end of the day, you start hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. You can destroy everything you've built because you allow ego to inflate yourself. And then you start to, you know, I was reading a book there, the one I was telling you, and the guy used a really good example of one of his friends that was so hungry, came from nothing, just hungry, worked so hard. He became not one of the best lawyers here in Los Angeles, but the best criminal justice lawyer of all time. Like, the guy holded a track record crazy. Mm-hmm. And he started seeing cases of drug lords, right? Like, people that were drug trafficking or whatever. And he would win these cases. And he felt, I mean, he was getting money, fame. He felt like nothing could faze him in life. And what happened is that these drug lords started inviting him to party with them. And then he started partying with them. And he started, he tried coke. He started doing coke. He started being around women. So the guy felt like nothing could ever knock him off. He was on top of the world and he was winning these cases. And the influence and, you know, of being around these people, and you know, he didn't want to say no or for whatever reason. And guess what happened? He lost it all. You know, that he had a good run. You know, like the stock went up, then it started going down, and then it flat rated. And then he lost it all. He did 12 years in prison. And, you know, he's lost his lawyer's license. He lost, like, he can't even be in a court no more. So now he's, you know, I think the book said he was around his 60s now. But now he's, like, back to being just from ground zero.
Yeah.
And he compared that story to, like, the lawyer who helped O.J. Simpson solve his case or whatever. And he's still in the top ranks. Why? Because he's humble. Like, he doesn't, he's still a sponge to this day. No matter the fame, the money, whatever comes to you, he's still willing to learn. He still has advisors. And he told him, hey, at what point do you draw a line from, like, your clients? Or he's like, they're just my clients. I solve the case and I move on with my life. I don't even build a relationship with them. And, you know, this person, the first guy, let's say his name was Rick, said, hey, I'll start partying with you. Because he was getting, it's payday, bro. Yeah. Like, I'll party with you. Yeah. I'll fuck around. I'll cheat on my wife. I'll do this and that. And then now he was the one in court for charges of drug cases and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he lost it all because he was on top of the world. You know what I mean? And, like, it could happen to any of us.
You let it get the best of them.
Yeah.
That also happens when you are in a position where you're starting a business and, you know, you're in a position where you don't have anything or you come from nothing, and then you start a business and you start to make money and you start to get this, you know, persona and this idea and this development mindset that you think that you're better than everybody else. And that happens in the industry when you start a business too. Like, when you first start a business, we're telling you right now that when you first start your business and you start to see that improvement and that growth and things start to arise, the way how you think is going to change very fast. And there's going to be people around you that are going to, one, influence you and continue in that behavior, or two, pull you down so you can get humbled. That's going to happen 100%. So for those who are out there listening who are in the process of wanting to grow, in the process of wanting to start, be aware that you're going to have this mental state that is going to be very egotistic and very harmful to yourself and those around you. You're going to think you're better than.
Yeah.
And it happens to a lot of young guys who start a business.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm making money. You know, I'm doing my thing. Like, fuck everybody, you know? What the fuck do I need you for? Like, in reality, like, you ain't shit, homie.
The second the IRS starts knocking on the door, oh, you ain't shit.
You ain't shit. Any last words before we wrap this up?
Man, just, you know, if you walk in a room, talk less, listen more. Stay alive, pay attention, be a sponge, you know, and treat that mindset, that mentality forever. Like, take it, run with it, don't stop thinking that way. Mm-hmm. You know, don't allow the influences to come into your head, you know, saying you got to do this, you got to do that. You know, try to contain the beast, you know. Mm-hmm. Like we said, it's good to be aggressive when it's needed. It's good to be, you know, fighters and warriors when it's needed, but it's also okay to take it back a notch and have a conversation, you know.
Be so vulnerable.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. That's good. Great. Actually, also forgot to note that every episode we talk about how many followers we have on our socials. So I'm going to start off with YouTube. YouTube, we are at 51 followers. Last week, we're at 33.
51 subscribers?
Or subscribers, I'm sorry.
There you go.
And then TikTok. Actually, I'm going to save TikTok for last. Instagram, last week, we were at 79. And now we're at 87. So there's progress there too. And then TikTok, we were at 78 followers last week. And then for this week's episode, we're at 299 followers.
Holy smokes.
We're making progress. We're making things happen. And we're growing. That's what it is. We're doing this for you guys. We're doing this for y'all. We're not doing this for ourselves. We're not doing this. We say it time and time again that we could be spending this day or this morning, you know, finding ways of
closing out more deals, bro.
Closing out more deals, making money. But we're choosing to spend this time to help people and influence other people like us. Right, and that's on. Ultimately our goal in this podcast. So, as always, stay shining, stay grinding. We're out.
See you on the next one. Peace.